द्राव्यं कर्मचकालश्च स्वभावो जीव एव च वासुदेवात् परो ब्रह्मन् न चान्योऽर्थो स्थितात्पतः The five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof set up by eternal time, and the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. And in truth, there is no other value in them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This phenomenal world is impersonally the representation of Vasudeva, because the ingredients of its creation, their interaction, and the enjoyer of the resultant action, the living being, are all produced by the external and internal energies of Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:4-5. The ingredients, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, as well as the conception of material identity, intelligence, and the mind, are produced of the external energy of the Lord. The living entity who enjoys the interaction of the above gross and subtle ingredients, as set up by eternal time, is an offshoot of internal potency, with freedom to remain either in the material world or in the spiritual world. In the material world, the living entity is enticed by deluding nescience. But in the spiritual world, he is in the normal condition of spiritual existence without any delusion. The living entity is known as the marginal potency of the Lord. But in all circumstances, neither the material ingredients nor the spiritual parts and parcels are independent of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. For all things, whether products of the external, internal, or marginal potencies of the Lord, are simply displays of the same effulgence of the Lord, just as light, heat, and smoke are displays of fire. None of them are separate from the fire. All of them combine together to be called fire. Similarly, all phenomenal manifestations, as well as the effulgence of the body of Vasudeva, are his impersonal features. Whereas he eternally exists in his transcendental form called Sachit Ananda Vigraha, distinct from all conceptions of the material ingredients mentioned above. Being empowered to create the various manifestations within this particular universe that we reside is herein revealing the inner truths of how this universe is working, from where it is coming, and what is the purpose of this creation and the purpose of life. The scripture, Shabda Praman, is the most accurate and most important means by which we receive information. Because these scriptures are being spoken by those personalities like Lord Brahma, who are directly in connection to the personality of Godhead. Everyone has their opinions, but Brahma is not giving his opinion. He is speaking the truth as he has heard from the Lord himself, and as he has personally realized. Tadvadi pranipate na pariprasne na sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatva darshana. Krishna himself tells in Gita that we must approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And Srila Prabhupada often said that in the spiritual realm, seeking the higher truths, we learn to see through our ears, not through our eyes. Because the senses are imperfect. They are defective. But when we hear the transcendental sound vibration of the Word of God, we receive perfect vision. We learn how to perceive through all of our senses the truth. Krishna explains, when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are my parts and parcels. They are in me and they are mine. The truth is to understand our relationship with Krishna. The living entity is an emanation of Krishna, non-different than Krishna. In the essence of its quality, Krishna has created all living entities. But Krishna's creation is different than our conception of creation in this world. If we create a house, or if we create a road, it has a beginning, and that beginning is declared to be its creation. But here it is explained by Srila Prabhupada that Kalash doesn't just mean time. It means eternal time. In Krishna, everything is eternal. In Krishna, nothing has a beginning or an end. Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udashyate. Because Krishna is perfect and complete, therefore all emanations from Krishna are perfect and complete. Anadi, beyond material existence limitations. Therefore, when Krishna creates the living entities, it is not limited to a particular reference of beginning. Living entities always exist side by side with Krishna for his pleasure. Krishna is unborn, and all of his parts and parcels are unborn. This is inconceivable to the human intelligence, but it is the natural understanding of the eternal liberated soul. So Krishna has manifested himself in innumerable living entities for the sake of lila, or transcendental enjoyment. And the whole spiritual world, Vaikuntha, is the manifestation of Krishna's spiritual energy, where everything exists only for the purpose of ecstasy, bliss, ras, transcendental loving relationships. That is the only purpose of life. It is the only thing that exists in the spiritual world, is ras, transcendental loving relationships in ecstatic love. But Krishna, by his own sweet will, has given an infinitesimal part of his own free will to every living entity. And we all have the freedom to choose how to utilize that free will. And those who are in knowledge, they utilize their free will simply to enhance the pleasure of Krishna, whose free will is to enjoy us. Krishna's will is to enjoy, to experience ecstasy from our love and to give us ecstasy from his love. That is Krishna's will. And if we agree to be one with his will, we can be immersed in that ecstasy forever. In the spiritual world. However, if we choose to go against the will of the Lord and try to enjoy independent of the service of the Lord, then Krishna creates the cosmic manifestation as sort of a reformatory facility by which we can make our efforts in this fool's paradise of material world. And how Krishna creates is so wonderfully explained in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. What the Lord does just to show his love to the living beings. Karano Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, actually, his purpose is simply to create the cosmic manifestations. In other words, he's existing only to somehow or other facilitate and purify the living entities who have chosen to betray the Lord's desire. Laying in his yoga nidra in the causal ocean, which is, he creates the Mahatattva. And Srila Prabhupada explains, according to the Shastra, that the Mahatattva is like a cloud in the spiritual sky. And just as it is explained that every living entity is like a sun ray, and Krishna is the sun. The sun ray is always connected to the sun and is always conscious of its connection to the sun. But when there is a cloud, the sun rays that are within that cloud or on the other side of that cloud, they are disconnected in their ability to perceive their very source, the sun. But when the cloud is removed, naturally, immediately, the sun ray sees its source, the sun. So Mahatattva is the sum total of all material ingredients. And that cloud, as long as we are under the control of material consciousness in that Mahatattva, our relationship with Krishna, the ability to perceive our very source, is obscure, like a cloud. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya this idea. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining for 7 days the teachings of the Brahma Sutra, according to Shankaracharya's teachings. And he was using so much philosophy, so much logic. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just sat there. And after 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was actually doing it in a mood of service, you are so young and you are so beautiful, how will you remain a sannyasi unless you really understand that you are not this body, that you are the supreme Brahmani, and this whole world is an illusion? Sarvabhauma asked Gauranga Mahaprabhu, why you have not asked any question? Do you understand what I have spoken? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I understand Vedanta Sutra. It is quite evident how Srila Vedavyas have explained. It is like the shining sun. But your explanations are like a dark cloud that completely obscure and block all the rays of the light of knowledge of that shining sun of the Vedanta Sutra. Misconceptions. So that is the condition of all of us within the conditioned state of life. The cloud of Maya is blocking, obscuring the perception of our relationship with the source of all light, Krishna. We are like that sun ray, but we cannot see the sun. And therefore we are thinking, when the sun ray forgets the sun ray foolishly thinks it is the sun. If one little sun ray is in darkness, he's thinking, I am the sun. Lord Brahma had this conception in his prayer due to the yogamaya potency of the Lord. He stole the cowherd boys, he stole the calves, he put them in a mystic sleep in a cave. And Krishna performed such a wonderful lila of manifesting himself as all these children, gopas and cows, for 1 year. And when Brahma finally came down and saw each of them turn into Vishnu himself, he surrendered to Krishna. And he said that when a firefly is in the darkness of the night, the firefly is thinking that I am lighting up the whole sky. Because factually, as far as he can see, because fireflies' eyes are very small, they cannot see very far distance. They only see a short distance. But as far as they can see, when they turn on the light within their tail, the whole universe lights up. They cannot see beyond their own light. And when they decide, pradana, prakriti, aprakriti, when he decides
to make the light unmanifest by his free will, the whole world is in darkness. The whole universe is in darkness.
So the firefly is thinking he is so very, very powerful and great.
At night.
Night means darkness. Darkness means
ignorance.
No ability to see reality. But when the beautiful sun, when Suryadev appears to give his darshan in the morning and illuminates everything, everywhere, then the firefly realizes,
I am nothing.
My light is insignificant. Srila Prabhupada explained to us our position. One time a devotee approached him and said, Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada,
I am the most fallen.
And Prabhupada said, you are not the most anything.
You are simply insignificant.
And this was a very, very powerful preacher, leader of our society. You are simply insignificant. That is our eternal constitutional position. The more we realize the sun, the more the ray of light realizes its insignificance. Not only its own insignificance, but also that whatever light it has is depending not on ourselves, but on our source, the sun. In the same way, the living entity, forgetting Krishna, thinks, I am the enjoyer. But unfortunately, trying to enjoy material life, there is so much problem, so much misery and suffering. And Krishna has designed it that way, out of his mercy. Misery is the mercy of the Lord. We may not like misery, but we must understand how it is needed, it is required to reform us, to purify us, to make us detached from all of the addictions that we have that are keeping us away from Krishna. Ariatmaka, Aridaivaka, Aribhotaka, the threefold miseries, they are the gifts of Krishna. They are required. It is being explained here how the Lord, he created the five elementary ingredients of creation, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. He creates the basis, the subtle covering that keeps the soul always in bondage as long as it is forgetful. And those are the false ego, the material intelligence, the mind. And then he creates the interaction, or karma. The interactions of all of these ingredients, which is set up by eternal time. The three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, raja-guna, tamaguna, are the underlying forces within this material existence. And due to eternal time, there are different interactions of these three modes of material nature. And these interactions stimulate the five gross and three subtle elements to have various types of transformations and mixtures. And through this process, everything is created. All 8,400,000 species of life and all inanimate matter through this process.
And Mahavishnu casts his glance within this wonderful, wonderful creation and impregnates creation with all the living entities who, due to their previous karmas from previous creations, are trying to enjoy separate from the Lord. And therefore, we have the material existence. And it is explained here that all of the ingredients of material existence, the three modes of material nature which is influencing the various reactions of material existence, eternal time in whose realm everything is being activated, all the living entities in all the 8,400,000 species of life, as well as the intuitive nature within each living entity to have freedom of choice, they are all differentiated parts and parcels and energies of Krishna, Vasudeva. Sarva Karana Karanam, who is the cause of all causes, who is the source of everything that exists. And in this situation, there is a very simple explanation that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given. That so many problems come about by the interaction of the three modes of material nature, under the influence of time, upon the gross and subtle elements. So many problems come. And all the problems are due to the temporary nature of everything, which is subject to birth, old age, disease, and death. And there is only one solution to the problem, and that is to become Krishna conscious. And the only real problem is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Because aparayam itashvanyam prakritim virimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharayate jaga. That the living entities are transcendental, they are part of Krishna, they are not meant to be in this material world. Mamayvam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtan indriyani prakriti stani tarshati. Why we are struggling with these six senses in the mind? When we understand our eternal relationship with Krishna, then we are above, beyond material existence. This means to become detached. Krishna consciousness means to accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable for devotional service, which means, in essence, to be detached from anything except what pleases Krishna, and to be attached to whatever pleases Krishna. In this way, we must replace our attachments to material life with spiritual attachments. Other yoga systems or other philosophies are teaching that you have so many material attachments and you're suffering because you don't have enough. This is the karma kanda. Therefore, perform pious activities, do charity, worship the devatas, perform yajna, and you'll get more and more and more and more attachments. And the more you become full and rich with great wealth and riches and attachments, then there'll be less to be in anxiety about. Because we're all in anxiety because we don't have enough. So the more you have, the less anxiety. You can go to heavenly realms if you so desire, but you have to work hard for births to do it. So this type of approach will never fulfill our desire, because we become more and more and more attached to the objects of misery, यही संस्पर्श जो भोग दुख जो नायते.
And after following such a system, ultimately you come to the realization that nothing in this universe will satisfy me.
Abrama bhuvanaloka punaravartanarjuna mamupete tu kaunteya punarajanmana vidyate.
You have to understand what the karmakanda division of Vedas are. Go all the way up to the higher planets, enjoy everything, see everything. Suffer miserably again and again and again, birth after birth after birth, until you come to the conclusion there is nothing in this universe from Brahmaloka down to Patalaloka that I want anything to do with, because it's all suffering. When you succeed in Karmakanda, you come to that realization. But it may take several million births
that you just are disgusted with material life.
If Indra were to come and say, here's my most beautiful Apsara, you would just vomit at the thought. Get her out. I've had it. It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's miserable. I know what's behind it all. Suffering.
Then you take through the Jnana Kanda. Just eradicate material existence and let me become totally detached from everything and anything.
But in that detachment, it's like fasting. The purpose of fasting is so you can be healthy, so you can eat nicely. Yes? The purpose of fasting is not just to starve and suffer. So people are fasting, they're giving up everything. But there's no real pleasure. There may be some peace. That peace is due to no longer being frustrated by all material efforts. But there's no ecstasy. There's no ras. There's no love. So that will never satisfy the soul. The soul is satchit ananda. It is seeking ananda. And Rupa Goswami explains very deep philosophy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but he summarizes it in two slokas. Accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. Manobiram, the same attachment that a young man has for a young girl in this world, just make yourself attached to Radha Gopinath. That is the perfection of life. We must detach ourselves from anything that keeps us in that cloud of illusion and attach ourselves to all those things that help us to see the light of the sun of Krishna's mercy. That means we must become attached to the association of devotees and attached to devotees. Some people say this is sentimental. Why should you be attached to another person? But the greatest acharyas, who had practiced the ultimate detachment, they were the most attached to each other. Let us look at Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the very emblem. He was the personification of the ultimate detachment this world has ever seen. He had a wife more beautiful than an angel. He had an estate that was so palatial and so wealthy. He had so many thousands of servants. He had such prestige, popularity, power. He left it all. It's not that he just left it all, but his whole goal of life was to escape from it. It's one thing to just whimsically leave something behind, but for years he was planning his escape. That was the only thing on his mind.
And ultimately he escaped.
And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya, who was the crest jewel of all sannyasis, wanted to show the world what kind of renunciate this Raghunath Das Goswami is. He said, all of your material excellences are like a pit where people go to pass stool. This is the way the renunciate see material wealth meant for sense gratification. Sometimes very greedy, wealthy, materialistic people, they invite a sadhu, come to my home. And so much gold and so much jewels and marbles and onyx and everything, very proud. But for the devotee, it's like going into a pit where people pass stool. Huh? He's not charmed by these things. He's disgusted by these things. And he sees the family members like little worms crawling around in that stool. Sometimes has to restrain his senses from calling him a worm. But that's just, see like that. That's all it is, nothing more. So this was Raghunath Das Goswami's detachment. And he gave up his fine, fine clothes. He would go to the rubbish of not even rich people, poor people. The poor beggars, when they no longer could wear what they were wearing because there were too many holes and it was just too old, they would throw it on the roadside and Raghunath Das would take those new clothes. Not clothes, nothing even sewn. It just had to be a cloth, and he would wrap it around as a copan. And what did he eat? At one time, the prasad of Jagannath, it would be sold in the shops, and after some days, some of it would become rotten. So the people would throw that rotten prasad in a pile near the Singhadwaram gate. And the cows from Talinga would come on that big mountain of rotten prasad. Of course, prasad is never rotten, but it appears that way by material sense perception after some time. And those cows would eat what was palatable and would spit out what was not. Throughout the day, they would just be eating and spitting out, eating and spitting out. And at night, when the cows finished selecting the best part of the pile, Raghunath would take what they would spit out. He would wash it and take the inner particle part of it, and he would eat that. Only. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's kutir. He was under the care of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. What are you eating? He said, he really didn't have anything to say. He said, I heard you are eating very good feast. Why you don't share with me? Give me. And Raghunath was hiding. He didn't want the Lord to see this. It was completely a secret what he would do. He wasn't like some renunciates who do some tapasya and make it so public that everyone thinks, oh, he is very great. And the whole world is celebrating your renunciation. And in this way, you're actually enjoying sense gratification of popularity and fame and prestige and being worshipped. So that type of renunciation is not real renunciation. That's just giving up one sense gratification to get a better sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stretched his hand out and grabbed the little pot of
Raghunath Das Goswami's prasad, and he ate it. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "My Lord, you cannot eat this anymore. You have already had enough." And Lord Chaitanya was in ecstatic love. He said, "I have tasted so many cakes and so many sweets and so many sabjis, but I have never tasted such delicious prasad as that Raghunath Das is eating every day. Mahaprabhur bhaktikaner vairagya pradhan yaha deki prita hoy gaur bhagavan." That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and soul, he takes such pleasure in seeing the detachment and the renunciation of his devotees. And such detachment is the life and soul of his devotees. So Raghunath Das Goswami was so detached, so renounced from everything of this world. But how attached he was to the Vaishnavas. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami disappeared from this world, Raghunath was just weeping and crying in an ocean of separation. He couldn't bear the loss of the company of such devotees. And he was thinking, without the association of such devotees, there is no purpose of living. So he made a resolution in his mind that he would jump from Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. So he went to Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. He walked long distance after some time. And he went to see the darshan of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, and he told them his plan, and they said, "You are asking our blessing to commit suicide? We will not give your blessing. Rather, we give you the instruction, you stay with us always. And you narrate to us the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri." So Raghunath Das Goswami, living on the banks of Radha Kund, would each day for several hours simply narrate the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And the Goswamis would come and listen with great eagerness. And then such a deep spiritual attachment was created between Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, and so many of the other devotees. They had such love for each other. And when Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami left the world, Raghunath Das Goswami was simply weeping and crying year after year after year in separation from them. That is attachment. Such attachment we should have. And Narottam Das Thakur, who came in the disciplic succession of these great souls, in his beautiful song, "The Prayers to the Departed Vaishnavas," he says, "In the absence of these devotees, I simply weep." So spiritual life means to become completely attached to Krishna and those things in relationship to Krishna. We should become attached to the deity of Krishna. So attached to the deity of Krishna. We read so many wonderful stories of devotees' relationships with the deities, Madhavendra Puri, with Gopal. How attached he was to that Murti. He was willing to risk his life, he was willing to suffer terribly, anything, just to bring some sandalwood for the pleasure of that Murti. That is puja. Puja doesn't just mean ringing bell and waving lamps. Real puja is that sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord in his deity form. Gadadhara Pandit, how attached he was to the deity of Tathagopinath. He was his life, his soul, his everything. In fact, when we sing that beautiful song about the temples of Vrindavan, Rup Goswami Prandana Hai Radha Govinda, Madan Mohan Sanatan Prandana Hai, it means this deity was the life and soul, the very force of all attraction for these personalities. Such attachment. An attachment to the holy name. Srila Haridas Thakur, how attached he was to the holy name. When the Islamic king and the Qazi, they ordered him, you stop this chanting or you will be beaten and killed. He said, never, let me die. Tear my body to pieces, cut it apart. But I will never stop chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And to our service, not any particular service, but service. Service in essence means we're willing to do anything for Krishna's pleasure. We're willing to do anything to help the Vaishnavas, Guru. We're willing to do anything to give compassion to the fallen souls. Devotees are attached to these principles. We should never be indifferent to the devotional principles. We must cultivate deep attachment to the chanting of the holy name, to the worship of the deities, to association with the Vaishnavas, to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day would go to Gadadhar Pandit's Gopinath Mandir to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. Should be attached to all these principles. And simultaneously, we should cultivate complete detachment from anything that takes our mind away from those principles. That is Krishna consciousness. Because it is only through becoming attached to Krishna and detached from Maya that we can come out of this cloud of material existence. Because in the darkness of the night, only the sun can illuminate. You can have your flashlights and you can have your electrical, but you cannot dispel the darkness all around you. Only the sun. And the sun comes by its own sweet will. In the same way, it is only Krishna that can give us relief from the miseries of material life. It is only Krishna that can illuminate our hearts with bliss and knowledge. And it is only to come to this point of surrendering to Krishna, always remembering him and never forgetting him, that Krishna has created the entire cosmic manifestation to bring us back to that point. So Lord Brahma is so kindly explaining in this wonderful verse that there is no value in anything that exists save and except to perceive it in its relationship to Krishna. There is no value in anything or anyone save and except to understand how Krishna's will is to be served in that through everything that has been created. This is knowledge.
And it is this perception of life that we must derive from the scriptures. If we study the scriptures and learn so many shlokas and give so many nice pravachan, this has no meaning. Brahma says, there is no value except this in anything, anywhere, at any time, except understanding how this whole cosmic manifestation, the living entities, all being controlled by material time, are meant for one purpose only. To realize that it's all to serve the will of the Lord. It is all to be conscious that Krishna is the source of everything and Krishna is the goal of everything. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, you declare this message everywhere. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your only wealth and treasure in life, Krishna is your life and soul. Chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, serve Krishna's devotees. Always think of Krishna and tell the world about Krishna. Krishna is everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And to live in this world without understanding that is the greatest tragedy for a human being, to try to manipulate material elements without understanding the goal of life, to always remember Krishna. Is there any questions?
From a very practical point of view, when we say that we have to completely have that conviction that I am only as a servant of Krishna and there should not be a tinge of sense gratification in our heart. Day to day, point of point, whatever we are doing, that we have to see that we are doing as a service to Krishna. Now for example, whatever food we are taking, that is as prasad. That prasad, we like to take this prasad and we don't like to like this prasad. For example, whatever clothes we are wearing, that cloth also we like, we have some selection that we want to have this type of a clothes. Whatever house we have, in the house we want something which is comfortable, not for anything else. If we go very deep in it, point to point, day to day, then we feel it that these are some things which I'm using for my sense gratification, not as a service to Krishna. So if we go deep, this is completely against Krishna consciousness, and outside we say we are a servant of Krishna. So how to discriminate that this is completely wrong in our heart, in the point to point day to day life?
We should select whatever can best be utilized for the service of Krishna. When you are arranging your home, you should be thinking primarily how to make it a beautiful temple for Krishna, how to make it a nice place for your family to be Krishna conscious. That should be first in your mind. As far as comforts and all of these things that may, certain comfort for basic survival and necessity to facilitate your service is approved. A grihasta has the comforts required so that he could keep body, mind, soul together, and also to give nice seva to others. That is all right. But we should simplify it as far as possible. But we should not be artificial. Because you are not Raghunath Das Goswami. We should be practical. We should do things nicely, but very simple, with the idea that it is facilitating our devotional service. And certainly, some devotees like a particular type of prasad and they do not like another type of prasad. Certainly, this is a material consideration because prasad is Krishna's mercy. But at the same time, there is certain variegatedness within all of us. It may be conditioned, but you cannot say it is completely against the principles of devotional service. Completely against devotional service means you want something that is not prasad. If you are a little selective about prasad, you can admit to yourself, I have certain material attachments and certain material conceptions that may be there. But by eating prasad, you become purified of all of that. You have to take to the gradual process of Krishna consciousness according to your capacity and try to be simple and sincere, and gradually you become purified. It is not that you can immediately be a paramahamsa, completely detached from everything. But you try to dovetail whatever attachments you have in such a way through the process of Krishna consciousness that you can become purified. Grihastha life, if a person has the inclination to have children, then he can purify that attachment by having the child in Krishna consciousness. And you become elevated by doing that, by performing the proper samskara, by raising the child afterward in a devotional atmosphere. So that propensity is cleansed, it is purified, it is used in Krishna's service. You have a propensity to eat, you eat nice prasad. In this way, Krishna consciousness takes us from whatever platform we are on and raises us to a higher, more purified platform by Krishnizing our existence under the direction of Krishna's representatives.
In the process of getting attached to Krishna and his devotees, there is an element of hypocrisy within us to try to show what we are not. How to come over this hypocrisy, element of hypocrisy in us?
Devotees should be honest and humble with one another. We should never try to portray ourselves as being great. We should portray ourselves as being servants. We should be calling out for the help of devotees. But at the same time, as a service to the devotees, we should try to be a very first-class example to inspire them and help them. We may declare ourselves to be fallen, but we should not behave fallen, because that is the greatest disservice. We should declare ourselves to be fallen, but we should be trying our very best to live according to the standard, to be exemplary, to inspire them. That is not hypocrisy. That is service. That is a humble service and a necessary service. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.